Welcome to the Biz for Good show with your hosts, Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. The Biz for Good podcast is a fun and adventurous series that dives into the world of business, nonprofit, and startups, making a difference in the world for good. Get ready for another episode. Hey, cue that sick intro.
For good.
Welcome, welcome to episode 13 of the Biz for Good show podcast. We have Alan Hughes from Warrior Way Academy with over 35 years experience in entrepreneurism, owns several companies, mentors, is a speaker, he's a musician, passionate leader, dedicated to changing and impacting lives. We want to mention that he is trained as an anti-bully speaker and trainer, and I've known him for some time now, and I'm so grateful that he's on the show today, and we'll turn it over to Bobby to kick off the show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode 14. High five, Ryan. Woo-hoo. We are so excited to have Mr. Hughes on the show today. Mr. Hughes, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bobby. Good to hear you guys.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We know all the cool stuff that you're doing, and we're excited to talk to you about it. So can we jump? Let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. So we ask everybody kind of this question. You know, you kind of understand that we are all about this doing good in business, and what does that mean? So we like to ask everybody the question. So what does business for good mean to Alan Hughes?
Well, you know, I believe that true business is cooperative, not competitive. And so a lot of people think they've got to go out there and annihilate their competition. They've always got competition. They've got to fight for every single person that they get, every client. And I don't believe that. I actually believe that a cooperative model is always stronger in business, especially when you're talking about small business. But it applies to even large businesses. If you can cooperate with people, if you can help them to understand how to work together, a cooperative model always works better. If you think about it, even people that are in the fast food industry, if you pull up to a McDonald's, what's right across the street?
Burger King?
Yep, or Wendy's, or Taco Time, right? They're not really cooperating consciously, but they are kind of, because they're saying, hey, if you come to this area of town, we're going to have this service for you. So in a way, their clients become the other people's clients also, because people get tired of eating at McDonald's or eating at Wendy's or eating at Burger King, and they eat at the others. And so even if you don't try to be cooperative, we can't help but be cooperative. Nobody ever succeeds by themselves. Everybody always succeeds because of some other people that are working with it. People talk about Steve Jobs, you know, and how amazing he was as a business person, building this empire of Apple and being able to build it twice, basically. And they think of him as a man standing on a mountain against the wind in a storm and doing it himself. And that's completely a lie. Everything that he did had other people involved, had other aspects, had people working to build Apple to what it is today. So nobody actually succeeds ever alone, and it's always cooperative. And the people that understand cooperative are always stronger than the people that do competitive, people that are involved in competitive.
Time after time, every show, it's so interesting how it always comes back to the relationships you make, the people you meet. It is so interesting how so many interviews that we've done, everybody talks about the people and how connecting with the people has been the most way to move forward, the most way to get things done. So that myth of you got to be cutthroat and you got to be, you know, you got to hate everybody and only think about money, you think that's kind of a myth, that's where the great and powerful are?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a myth that you fight everybody. And if you think of business as a fight, then it will be a fight for you. And you'll be scrapping for everything that you can possibly get. If you think of it as a cooperative model, then you work with even your competitors in some way. to be able to make your business go forward faster, better, stronger, and be a better business. I'm actually just about finished. I've got two other writers writing on this book, but it's called Center of the Circle Business Hapkido. And Hapkido is the art that I actually study, and I've studied for 35 years in these arts of self-defense. And it's a cooperative model, because Hapkido literally means the way of working together, or the way of coordinated power. And in business, it's absolutely true. I always tell this story where we've got kids or we've got adults on the mat, and I say, okay, so which is stronger, a powerful and strong person? So one of my friends that I know is the seventh strongest man in the world. He holds strongman contests. These guys lift cars, right? And I describe it. Yeah, they're giant. I describe him to them, and I say, if he's walking through the door, it almost seems like he has to go through sideways because he's so big. And if I put him on the end of a tug-of-war rope, and I put you, Mrs. Jones or Mr. Jones, on the other end, who's going to win? They say, well, he's going to win. And I say, okay, great. What if I took Mr. and Mrs. Jones and three of you other people on the other rope, on the other end of the rope? Oh, he'd probably still be able to pull us over. What if I took this whole class and everybody that is walking down the street right now in Springville, Utah, and put them on the other side of the rope? I don't know. Maybe not. What if I put everybody in the community on the other side of the rope? Who would win? Oh, we'd win for sure. He couldn't overtake us. That literally is the way of cooperation, right? Many people working together is always stronger than one person trying to go it alone, one person trying to be really, really strong on their own. And the people that work together or harmonize or coordinate their power are the ones that are strongest and the ones that survive in the end.
I love it. That is so true. It's so cool to hear this over and over again, the power of connecting with the people.
For sure.
Not just your employees, but your clients. When you, and even like you said, your competition. It is so cool when you're outward focused and you're connected that way, you can't help but grow your business. So Ryan, you want to ask Alan a question?
All right. So you're currently working with Warrior Way Academy, and how does this apply in your business of doing good?
Doing good? Well, the whole Warrior Way concept is actually a concept of doing good. So not only do we teach self-defense to the community at large, but we teach people to teach self-defense all around the world. So they come here, and I have a team that's going to Korea in just a few weeks, and they'll be teaching over there and demonstrating over there. And we do this for the local people, but we also have things like Free Mondays. So we'll do Free Monday classes, and this is ongoing. This isn't, well, come this Monday, and then next Monday you have to pay or you have to sign up. We do a Free Mondays all the time at our facilities, at our instructor training facilities, so that people can come from the community and they can feel like, wow, I could learn self-defense. I could learn this high-level self-defense. Sometimes I wonder if they even know how high-level of self-defense they're actually learning, that they're learning verbal self-defense and physical self-defense. We do all of that with our clients, so we're helping them. I've actually seen people that have saved their lives from understanding what we've taught them. Guys that have, it's funny because you never think, you always think martial arts people, well, what happened? Some guy got attacked by six ninjas, right? And they tried to take him out at a bar fight or something. No, that's not usually what happens. But usually what happens is a guy's riding down the road, and I've had this on two separate motorcycle accidents, going about 40, 45 miles an hour, and somebody pulls out in front of them. And they literally get launched down the road 30 or 40 feet. And they don't have helmets. Neither one of these guys had helmets or protective gear. And because they knew how to fall and because they had a good sense of themselves, that's some of the things that we teach, it saved their lives. A little girl got in an argument with her mom. She's scootering down the road, angry at her mom, and one of these little razor scooter things, whatever they are, hit some gravel. And this girl wasn't very good at Hapkido. She didn't really understand how to do it very well, but she studied for a couple of years, and when she hit that gravel, it flipped her. And she went right towards a curb, a cement curb, and she turned her body and did a roll, and her shoulder hit the curb instead of her head. But she hit so hard on her shoulder that she broke her shoulder in 13 spots.
Ooh, wow.
The doctor literally said, what in the heck? How did you learn how to do that? And she said, hop keto. So teaching the basic self-defense, that's one thing. That's one way of doing it. Offering it to the community, that's another way. We're actually launching a program in a few weeks that will be a residential treatment program here based on Wang Jing Hop Keto and Warrior Way. It's called Warrior Way Residential Treatment. And we'll actually fly in kids from all around the world. They'll come here. Maybe they've had a little bit of trouble. Maybe they've had some trauma, things like that. And they'll actually study here, and they will do their schoolwork here. They'll do their self-defense here. And they'll learn that conflict is actually not only, understanding conflict is not only essential, but it's actually the only way that we can grow. Any of us, none of us can grow without understanding how combat actually works, because everything we do is in combat if we're trying to grow. So these kids come, maybe they've had a little bit of an addiction problem, or maybe they'd have an anger problem or a traumatic problem from abuse or whatever that is. They come here and they learn that those things are little battles that they've been fighting. And those little battles to them are giant battles, and that they're learning through the aspects of learning how to deal with those things through combat, and how the principles of combat never change. They never change. Here's one.
The Art of War is how old? The book, The Art of War.
Pretty dang old, right? Sun Tzu, Art of War. I love it, right? But you think about it. If you deal with people on principles, principles never change. So if a guy's got a knife, and my principle is to create space, I run, right? I create space. I get away from that knife if I possibly can. If I can't, then I have to go to the next stage. But those principles of creating space are true. If the guy's got a gun, I need to be a little further away. If he's got a rocket launcher, I need to be halfway across the mountain. If he's got an atomic weapon, if I'm on the other side of the world, guess what? I have to read about it in the papers because it didn't affect me. So those principles of battle and combat apply to everything in our lives.
Wow.
So, Alan, we met some time ago on the topic of bullying, anti-bullying, and I know that this is something that you've been involved with heavily and that you apply Hapkido to and some training. Can you go through that with the guests?
Oh, yeah. Same things apply. Whether it's verbal or it's physical or it's emotional, the things that we deal with are all the same. They're all basically conflict. So either we're in conflict or we're in harmony. One of the two things. So if we're in conflict and somebody comes up and somebody bullies someone, and a lot of times people think, oh, they've got a picture in their mind of these two 12-year-old kids, right? And the one is 13 and a half and he's twice as big as the little scrawny nerd kid. And he comes up and he pushes him, or he yells, well, before he pushes him even, he says, yeah, I hate your shirt. It's a sissy shirt. I hate the way you look, or whatever like that. The kid that is responding has to understand that he's in conflict. He's actually in a form of combat, even before the bigger kid grabs him, even before the bigger kid shoves his head in a toilet, right? So if he understands that, then he understands he has to stand a certain way. He has to look in his eyes a certain way. He has to have a certain amount of confidence. In fact, if he had enough confidence before the bully actually approached him, the bully wouldn't even approach him. There was a study that was done of guys that were on, they were sort of like death row, or they were going to never get out of prison. And these guys were shown a video of people on the street. And for cigarettes or extra yard time or whatever, they said, pick out your victims. We're doing a study. And each one of them picked out the same victims. And they asked, well, how could you do that? Why did you pick these people? And they said, because they didn't look confident. They didn't look like they had a place to go. They looked like they were a little lost. That's my victim. That's the one I'm going to assault. That's the one I'm going to hurt. So it even starts before that. But then the kid's in front of him. And what is the first thing that everybody in the schoolyard would tell the little kid that's getting bullied? What would the teacher tell the kid that's getting harassed?
Stand up to him almost every time. Stand up.
Do
to
what?
Him. Stand up to him.
No, that's not what they do. They actually say, ignore him. Yeah. He'll go away. That's the first thing. Oh, just ignore him. Billy, just ignore him. He'll go away. No, he won't. In fact, he'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. And if he stands up to him, he could stand a chance of being injured because this kid's a lot bigger than him. But there's a different way to stand up, right? We know that as adults. We inherently know you don't have to fight every person that insults you. We'd be in fights all the time, right? In work, on the freeway, wherever.
Yeah, true. And I guess some people do that, and that, they have a hard life.
That's right, that's right. So Billy learns to do a verbal redirection. You know, this shirt, you said you didn't like this shirt. I totally understand. I've got, my sister's got one that's even worse than this at home, and walks off, right? He's in a verbal redirection. He addressed the bully. He spoke to the bully. He actually interacted with the bully and redirected that. That's a redirection. There's blocks, redirections, all sorts of things that people use. Police officers, millions of police officers use this stuff every day. So when you're talking about conflict, it's not just physical. It can be in the bullying atmosphere. It can be in that way. In fact, it absolutely is. Most fights don't start with somebody jumping you in an alley. Most fights start through a progression of aggression. So I was in a prison. I was in a jail. Actually, it was a jail. It wasn't a prison. It was a jail in in L.A. County. And one of the guys I knew was my brother-in-law, and he was this great big Samoan guy, and he was at L.A. County Sheriff, right? And he's giving me a tour of the jail system in L.A. By the way, they have something like 13 jails that are bigger than our prison here in Utah. They're huge. And so I'm going through this tour, and it's chow time, and these great big guards come out with guns like the size of my legs on their arms, right? They're just big guys, and they let everybody out of their cells, and they stand there, and they walk past them, and one of them kind of just sideways glances, and this guard pulls him off and screams in his face, "What are you looking at? I can't believe you'd even look. You don't look. You don't do." And he was doing that, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is pretty extreme. This guy is just—he just looked. And after they all went to chow, the guards told me, they said, "Today a hard stare is a stabbing tomorrow." Hmm. So what we have to do is we have to not ignore the bullies. We have to actually address them. We don't have to standing up. I get what you're saying about standing up. I just want the people to know that standing up happens more effectively in all walks of life when it doesn't include aggression that goes back towards the person. This is stuff that the people that work in airlines learn when they're in the holiday season and one of the flights is late or stalled or they give away somebody's seat, like happened just recently, something really bad, right?
That was a bad example, right?
That was a bad example, bad example. They need to take my verbal judo course, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But they confronted the person. They got aggressive with the person. It became a pushing match. Who's going to do I'm going to get you off this plane. I'm going to grab you and pull you off this plane. Well, of course, the guard, the security guy is stronger than this 90-year-old man or whatever. That was no contest. But in the end, the airline is going to pay a lot of money for that. Everyone knows it.
Absolutely. It damaged them severely.
That's right. Yeah. Where a few kind words, a little verbal redirection. Let's see if we can work this out. What can we do? How can we make this work? Let's blend. Let's harmonize. I understand you're upset. In fact, let me go to my supervisors and let's just talk about this. That would have gone a lot further, and we wouldn't have heard about it in the news. It wouldn't have been plastered all over the news because confrontation doesn't have to end in you being violent back. Now, I don't want you guys to get the wrong impression. There is a time to take a person out, to neutralize a person. There is a...
there's always a time for that.
There's always a time for that. But most of the time, you don't have to do that. Most of the time, you can use these other techniques. And I feel like that really helps, and that's how we really apply what we do in business. So ours is very direct. We're not selling a widget. We actually are selling life. So instead of winning a battle, we're selling a way to to live through a battle.
I have a feeling that in business, the whole thing you're just talking about, as a business owner or an entrepreneur or something, I mean, it would assist you to understand that whole concept of redirection and connection. I mean, I have a feeling you would do more business and have much better clients and stuff if you use those
relationships.
Yeah, those relationships, the ability to talk to people like that.
Absolutely. And it can't just be a fake, right? It can't be, I talk this way so I get more clients.
Right.
You have to make a DNA change. It has to be part of who you are.
Because they know when it's fake. People innately understand. We're too smart in this day and age to, we know a slick salesman when we hear it.
That's right.
Is there a tip that you could give business owners or people listening to the show about that specifically, like maybe how to be real or just what are you thinking, Alan?
Well, first of all, go in a few weeks, go buy my book, Center of the Circle Business.
Absolutely. We'll put that on the site for sure. So tell us when it's live and everything, and we'll get it up on the site.
Yeah, but the other thing is, the one thing that I will tell you that you both absolutely must do, and anybody who's listening right now absolutely must do to not die before the end of this podcast.
Ooh. I'm listening. I'm all ears.
Okay. When I teach people, the first lessons that I teach people in Hapkido, I tell them that. I say, you're going to do something. I'm going to teach you something. You're going to know what the most important thing is. And if you don't do it in these next 20 minutes, you'll die. And it's breathing.
Breathing.
That's
right. I've
heard
that's important.
So, yeah, it's important. And you think about it. Think about another thing in the world that you need to do that absolutely, if you don't do it in the next 3 to 5 minutes, you'll die. It can name anything. And it's not drinking water. It's not eating healthy. It's not losing weight. It is breathing. However, most people take for granted their breathing. And so in stress situations, the very first thing you need to do is breathe. That's one of the very first things you need to do. So people don't understand that it's the most critical thing of life, and yet people don't do it. When I talk to business owners, when I do seminars and I speak to groups, I talk about things like this, and I talk about business like that. When you're about ready to get angry with a client, breathe. When you're trying to figure out your next move in your marketing, breathe. When you're really stressed about what's going on in your business, breathe. When you're nervous about talking to a potential sale, breathe. All of those things apply, and you can see how they work. We know that. Now that I've said it, everybody's, yeah, duh. Yeah, you breathe, right? But we don't practice it. And that's one of the first things. You see these guys in Hapkido demonstrations in Korea. They're wearing fatigues. They've got their military weapons. They've got knives. They've got bayonets. They're getting ready to do this demonstration with their faces all painted up where people are coming at them and trying to kill them. And the first thing they do before they even start the demonstration is they all line up and breathe. And they go through a series of breathing exercises because they want to train themselves that in the most stressful situations, that is what's going to save your life. That is what's going to put you ahead. I'm going to give you a little story. So I was down in Vegas last June. Ryan might know what happened to me. But I was down in Vegas. I'm driving alone. My wife and I were at an event down there at one of the big convention places. And I went to go pick somebody up. And about the time I was halfway on GPS in traffic in Vegas to pick this person up, I got this severe chest pain. Really severe chest pain. And then my head started to hurt and the teeth in the back of my head started to pound and ache. And I got my wife on the phone. I said, something's going on. I'm not sure. I've got this severe chest pain. I'm going to get to this location and have them drive me to the hospital. So I breathed. I focused. I kept her on the phone. I went through traffic. I'm breathing. I'm focusing. I'm relaxing. I'm doing all my Hapkido stuff, right? I'm not being attacked by ninjas. I'm being attacked by something else, something far more dangerous that I didn't even realize at the time. I get to my destination. The lady comes out to drive with me, and I said, can you take the car? Can you take me to the hospital? And she'd worked at a hospital before, so she knew it was serious, what I was talking about. She drove me through traffic. I'm still breathing. I'm still relaxing. I'm still on the phone. I walk myself into the ER, And I go up to the guard, and he says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah, I think something serious is going on with me. I've got a real severe chest pain." They took me in. At first, they didn't know what was going on. But after a few minutes, my wife showed up at the hospital, and she said, "He's not remembering things." And they put me into an emergency CAT scan right away, and they found out I had a dissected type 1 aortic dissection in my heart. So I was literally bleeding out. The largest vein in your body had ruptured and was tearing my heart, and I was bleeding out. They had a thoracic surgeon right there, world-class thoracic surgeon. She took me in. She told my wife, "He may not come out. People don't live through this." I'm surprised he even got to the hospital. I lived through the surgery. I'm here today. I'm teaching a hot keto class later tonight. So what I'm telling you is absolutely, positively will save your life if you understand these concepts. I know that there are people that most people couldn't have survived that. In fact, if you look up type 1 aortic dissection, it ain't a heart attack, guys. This is where your heart explodes. People don't live through it. I talk to EMTs. I talk to doctors. I'll go in for an eye exam, and they'll say, "Well, this, it shows that you had something going on with your heart." And I said, "I had type 1 aortic dissection." They go, "You're alive?" They literally look at me white, like I've never seen one of you alive in 30 years since I've been doing medicine. So the thing about breathing is absolutely positively true. You've got to understand that it's at that basic level that business starts. If you can't control your breathing and your emotions and all of those things, if that's not part of your business plan, you're already dead in business.
Awesome. Wow, that's good stuff.
Yeah, thanks so much. That was an amazing story. Just to close out the show, we just want to, you know, promote the Warrior Way Academy. Just let us know a little bit about the background, and then where we can find out more about
website, all that good stuff. Anything you can say to get us there, to have people check it out.
Sure. So if you want to connect with the Academy, just go to free.warriorwayacademy.com. or just warriorwayacademy.com, either one. You can connect with us there, send emails, schedule some time with me if I'm in town, if I'm in country. And so, yeah, it's free.warriorwayacademy.com. Our number is 801-489-6838.
Awesome. And what are some things that they're going to kind of learn and take on maybe?
Well, it depends. I have people call me I'm giving a verbal judo anti-bullying program in July for one of the cities here in Utah. I conduct private trainings for people that are in business to help them with understanding how to use these concepts in business. I do consulting. We do self-defense classes. We have the residential treatment program that we'll be launching in just the next few weeks.
Wow. Doing a lot of good. It's exciting to hear folks out there with such passion and vision and changing the world one person at a time. Thanks, Alan. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Be good, do good.
Hashtag be good, do good.
Thank you for listening to the Biz for Good show series with Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. We want to thank our guests and all our fans of the show. Again, you can find us online at bizforgoodshow.com and on all our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Have a great day, and remember, be good, do good.